Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
I'd like to start at the beginning. You've been pretty prominent in Pinellas County Democratic circles for some time. What was it that led you to the Democratic Party, and what got you involved in Democratic politics?
Well, you know, I've been a Democrat most of my life. I've had a few times that I was independent, but I just felt that we shared a lot of the same ideals and values, especially when President Obama came in, you know, and began to run. I really, you know, connected with his campaign, and of course, as an African American, you know, I was proud to have someone of my own ethnic background that close to, you know, the top office in the country. And Democrats have always had a humanistic approach, at least in their message, to the way we should be governed. That's always been appealing to me, because I always believe that you want to help, you know, people in whatever needs they may have.
So then what was it that caused you to leave?
Well, you know, here it was, Congressman Young's seat, you know, he had passed away, and they were trying to get somebody to run for it after Alex Saint lost to Jolly. And there was nobody there. So I said I would run, and if they found anybody that was more qualified or whatever, that, you know, I'd step aside. And when that happened, I met with such hostility and just attempts to sabotage my character, as well as discourage me from running from my own party. You know, I was really bewildered. And it was the first time, really, that I questioned whether or not the leadership that I was dealing with were really embracing the message, or if this was just another power game, another social club where, you know, there are few in there felt that they had the right to tell everybody else how to be governed.
What about philosophically? And I guess specifically our interests are wondering about where school choice fits into the mix here.
You know, philosophically, what I've learned is that item by item has to be looked at, because if the Democrats take a stand against vouchers, to me, that's too one-sided. It shows a lack of analysis, because we have children that have been failing in school since I arrived on the scene back in 1993. And to continue to fight for something, some ideal where everybody is, you know, kind of on the same level and achieving the same, dream, the place that's most demonstrated to be untrue is in the school system. And our children, they fall into this pathway to prison. For me, I'll do anything, and I'll support anything that gives our children a fighting chance. The public school system has demonstrated that they cannot do the job in at least approximately 80% of our kids. And I was with a faith-based group that tried to get them to bring in a curriculum called direct instruction. And the people over direct instruction, National Institute of Direct Instruction, willing to come and do 2 years for free, give them the curriculum, technical assistance, and everything to help implement that curriculum, which has been proven to be highly effective with minority kids, African-American kids, and poor kids. And we went to Atlanta, Baltimore, Houston. I mean, it's working wonders. And they refused free curriculum and free help. You see, and that, to me, is not democratic. You know, democracy has to do with choice. And I know they say, well, we're a republic rather than a democracy. But you see, the problem with that is this. When a republic chooses its own leadership and is no longer in the hands of the people, it's this sort of machine that determines who's going to run and who's going to be in place, then democracy is really not fulfilled. because even the wishes of the people are ignored, because the big money to elect them comes from Washington or other people. So the folk that are, let's say for instance in District 13, if the DCCC could go over to Tampa and get a former Republican to run for District 13 who didn't live there, how could he possibly represent that person? And likewise, in education, when you have people in office that refuse to give parents a chance to get their kids on a winning track because they're so hell-bent on their answers being the only answer, to me that's totally, you know, without value. It's totalitarian. It's dictatorial. And I can't walk beside anybody who's not willing to do everything within their power to help kids succeed.
Do you still hold out hope that the public school system can live up to the ideals that you described?
The public school system is a huge bureaucracy. And many times, a bureaucracy has its own internal self-preservation instinct. And because of that, it's more likely to make those persons who don't fit the outcast rather than the exception. And so children are blamed, their parents are blamed, you know, their behavior is blamed, all these things are blamed. But when someone offers you an opportunity for change, just for a trial basis, and you refuse it, that means to me that you're so hell-bent on blaming the victim that you won't even allow them the opportunity to try something different. And why not? Why not? It's not your children that's failing, it's African-American children that's failing. And one thing that I truly believe that that Governor Scott got right is that competition makes people do better. When they know that they're not the only show in town, they tend to do better if they want to stay in business. I don't believe in total privatization of schools at this point. I do believe, though, that whatever opportunities and resources are available for children that are not doing well, inclusive of going elsewhere, every opportunity should be afforded those kids to succeed before they get into a mode of thinking, not only am I failing classes, but I am a failure. You see, they begin to define themselves as a failure rather than a class.
Are there differences now that you might have with the Republicans now that you're joining them?
You know, any party that does not allow for free thinking, I'm not going to do well with them. When I sat down with the local Republican leadership and I expressed to them my views, they said to me, we are open to diversity. We don't always agree with one another, but we don't try to attack and destroy people from within who don't follow party lines. Now, how do I know that's true? Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't and I won't until we run into a similar situation. However, I know it to be the case with the Democrats, at least those that were in leadership, so there's no need of me beating my head against that wall when I already know the outcome. You know, it's just unfortunate that the regular Democratic person that's just like me and you, just trying to, you know, make a living, do what they need to do, believe in the party's philosophy, they don't speak for the party. You know, they don't have the ability to really move that mechanism around. You know, power tends to protect its own interests, you see. And it's the same with NAACP. It's just, you know, you start out with an entity, an organization that has lofty ideals and they're people-oriented, but then all of a sudden it becomes about preservation of power and position, and the things that are done are personal. You know, oh, you dare defy my power, you dare question me, so I'm going to attack you in the name of this organization.
Now, there have been leaders, a lot of African-American leaders, in the, including those in the school choice community, who have worked with Republicans in the past, but then found that they're not lined up with the Republicans on other issues around helping the poor. Do you think you can bring the party around on there, on things like Medicaid?
Well, you know, I started local. I started out with the people who I sat down with, and I explained to them that about my feelings. And, you know, they were open to that. They were open to the idea of trying to bring economic development in. You know, one of the things I think that Scott has is his vision is to create so much economic development that jobs are plentiful, so that ex-offenders will be able to be hired, and that people will be able to self-insure. That is a great vision. But the problem many times with the Republican Party, at least those that are leaders, is they want to just dispense with anything that serves as a transition. You know, they want to cold turkey. For instance, if I believe that the way to go is to enhance business development and create jobs for everybody, that we can rid ourselves of this entitlement, the problem with that is you can't cut people off today in hopes of this utopia tomorrow. And then when you are helping corporations to thrive, you have to also help people to survive. It's as though they only see in terms of a black or white picture. I believe that the Democratic programs, Medicaid, all those programs are great stopgap measures to help people transition to a place where they are self-supporting. You know, they're not designed to be an end in themselves. And that's where I probably disagree, you know, with some Democrats. I believe a person should receive help as long as they legitimately need it. I don't believe you cut anybody off, children and families and single moms. I believe that if you can buy insurance for your dog at the veterinarian, surely people should have insurance, human beings. You know, when I first moved here 20 years ago, I got a citation from Animal Patrol because I didn't have a doghouse for my dog. And if you can cite me and threaten to fine me because I don't have a house for my dog, you mean to tell me there's no compassion for human beings that don't have one? So those are the issues that I find to be extremely contradicting and inhumane. And so when Republicans come to the forefront saying we need to help these corporations succeed, I understand that principle, but you cannot cut off human beings.
So with all of those sort of differences and contradictions and cross currents, what's the reaction been like in the community since the news came out that you were changing parties?
Well, I think on the African-American side, there's some confusion. It's so amazing, Travis, because despite the fact that I said that I'm working with those local Republican leaders who have agreed to work with me on our common ground issues, that I could not support Governor Scott, could not endorse him for a number of reasons, there are still people running around thinking, oh, he's endorsing Governor Scott. I don't know how to change that perception because for many of them it's reality. There's also some sense of betrayal. You know, I don't believe in groupthink. My issue is principle. And I will vote principle, I will work principle, whether it's with people who work with me or whether it's by myself. But I'll never be in a position, Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, that I'll be forced to toe the party line at the expense of something that I believe to be contrary to my morals and values.
Reverend Sykes, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk this morning.
Sure. I'm happy to have an opportunity to express my thoughts.